Before we even kick off the podcast, I just want to remind everyone to go like, subscribe, and keep up with these weekly episodes. If you like what you hear, spread the word so more coaches can tune in for our weekly podcasts. All right, here we go. The Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by GameStrat. GameStrat is the number one sideline replay choice for the top football programs in the country. Their system is extremely reliable, easy to set up and use, and they also have the best customer service in the industry. Go to GameStrat.com to learn why more coaches keep switching to GameStrat for their sideline replay system. That's GameStrat.com. GameStrat.com.
In 2020, Athletic Recruiting, Education, and Navigation was founded with one fundamental reason in mind: to keep the high school coach as the bedrock for the student athlete as they travel through the recruiting process. With questions about when to start, do I go to junior days, or what camps do I attend? We saw one major flaw in the system: who's supporting the coach? Aaron aims to provide you with resources and information for your student athletes and their families. We keep you up to date with current trends, provide feedback on the current time frame, and engage with parents to take questions off your plate. Can you handle the recruiting process on your own? Sure, but with the demands of coaching, do you really want to? Contact Aaron today to talk about how we can be there to help you navigate the ever-changing and tumultuous recruiting waters.
Hi, I'm Coach Tony Schiffman, and welcome to the Hog Football Podcast, where we talk all things football and all things offensive line. Guys, welcome back to the Hog Football Podcast. We've been away for a little while, but super excited to have Coach Matt Perkins here with me. Coach Perkins is currently the offensive coordinator at Rockbridge High School in Columbia, Missouri, where he just finished up a great season running the Bear Raid offense. We'll keep it as the Bear Raid. I don't want to have to think about it as anything with the wing tee, so we'll go Bear Raid. But super excited to have Coach Perkins. Welcome, Coach. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you and I have spoken many a times on Twitter. I actually reached out to you just a couple weeks ago asking for some advice about head coaching, and so this is good that you and I can actually sit and talk and get some football talk out there and not have to worry about the other stuff. So yeah, this is good. You know, first question I've got for you, and this is something I ask everybody. I told you kind of before you're going to kind of be one of the guinea pigs of the new format for the podcast. But first question I ask everybody is, talk to me about how the offensive line played a role in some of the better teams that you've been a part of.
Man, honestly, it's probably everything. From an offensive standpoint, the old cliche, the games were won in the trenches. Couldn't be more true. We probably had the most talented team I've ever coached this year. And we had to scrap together to get what we got this year with the 9 wins and the district title. Really thought our offensive line came together at the end, played really well as a unit down the stretch, but it took some time. We had 4 new starters coming in, and that it's just a challenge every single year to try to find the right unit and find the right cohesiveness. And it seems like whenever you get it figured out and you got the right 5, you can be pretty effective.
Oh yeah. Oh no, no doubt. And sometimes it takes a little bit to find the right 5, right? I mean, I'm sure. And we'll talk about this a little bit with the question on the road, but sometimes it takes a game or two to find that right 5. Because they're always, it's very rare, especially at that position. And, you've been around football for a long time. Very rare do you get all 5 of those guys that start the entire year and can stay healthy. It's such a tough spot. I mean, it's like defensive line. It's you take such a beating every single snap. If you make it through, I don't even want to say unscathed. If you make it through without anything major, it's a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, a year ago we walked into week 9 having our entire offensive line intact, had our guys together for all 9 games, and then week 9 we break a foot, week 9 we tear an ACL, week 9, and all of a sudden you've got 3 new starters in the game, and
right,
we graduated 3 of those 3 of those starters from a year ago, and one of those guys coming off injury just wasn't quite the same coming back this year. But yeah, played about 8 guys up front, and yeah. Trying to trying to find the right unit. We do a lot of different things throughout the course of practice to try to get, you know, get on the same page. And as a gap run team, it's really important that our kids understand the scheme and that they're able to communicate things together, because you know, we're not running zone over and over and over in practice. Right. It's a lot of different looks that are, you know, based on what we're seeing defensively. And so those guys have to be really good at talking, and we finally found the right mix.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Well, you sort of alluded to it a little bit, but we'll get a little bit more in depth. First question is, how did your season go? How was your season this past year? I know you kind of, like I said, you kind of touched a little bit on it, but let's dive more into that.
Yeah. You know, it was a good year. It had moments of kind of being trying for me from a, you know, parental standpoint.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know, as a head coach, I'm dealing with a lot of those types of things. But the kids, you know, the kids are the same they were 30 years ago, really. They're showing up every day. They just want to win. They want to find ways to have a good time. And, you know, I think we do a good job of facilitating that. We ended up with a 9-3 record. We won our district for the first time in 10 years here at Rockbridge in Columbia. You know, we lost the conference title game in the middle of the year, didn't play great offensively, kind of had to go back to the drawing board. And it was after that game that we made a couple of adjustments with our offensive line. And things finally started clicking for us offensively.
Yeah. Did you find, and you and I have kind of talked about this a little bit, just sort of with, you know, giving up the play calling duties and doing some of those things. Did you find that it was difficult to make those decisions on offense, or did you find that it was much needed and you kind of were able to say, no, this is the right time? Because we went through something very similar where I kind of had to, you know, take my stubborn hat off and be adaptable, and it really helped us in the middle part of our season. Did you find you had anything like that, or were you kind of okay with everything happening?
Man, I've been really fortunate, had some really good mentors along the way. And so, like you said, this was the first year I took my hands off of the play calling duties, but I couldn't have done that if I didn't trust the guy that I brought in.
Yeah.
I've known Alex Harrell for a long time. And number one, you know, he's the smartest guy in the room. He's very witty. But I think the most important thing about Alex is I know what kind of, preparation he puts into things. I know how much he cares about being successful. And so, you know, it all starts with trust. And as a head coach, you've got to put people in position around you, you know, to have authority and have a say, and you've got to trust them to go out and do, you know, what you need them to do. And he has my absolute trust, as does my defensive coordinator, Ethan Smith. I'm really blessed to have two, not only great friends, but two of the best workers, here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's, again, those are things that you and I talked about kind of privately a little bit, but you know, as you get into head coaching, you there comes a point in time when you have to kind of divvy out that that responsibility. But you know, there's still part of you that doesn't want to be just the odd man out a little bit. So it's I think it comes with maturity as a head coach. It comes with understanding your coaches, and the biggest part, like you said, is trust for those guys. And you know, those are all important aspects, and you want that for anyone on your staff, but to really have those play calling duties, you have to have those are first and foremost, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I think, probably the hardest part for me was on Monday nights with our JV and our freshman groups. We had two brand new play callers at both of those levels, and I was probably, you know, more chirpy on those nights,
right,
and those guys nuts. There were probably two times this year when we got out of a game and you know, Alex, Coach Harrell would come to me and say, "Hey, you were a little chatty tonight," but it didn't happen very often.
Right.
He's been a blast to work with, and I'm blessed that I made that decision and brought him along.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, I mean, and last thing I'll say about this is, you know, it's on those Monday night games, because we play our games on Thursday. It's still, you know, your program. It's still, as the head coach, you know, you're putting your name and stamp on things. You want things done the right way. And you know, it's, you're entitled to be a little chatty on those nights. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to Alex. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Right.
Yeah. I won't tell him you said that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Second question. Again, you kind of alluded to it a little bit. We talked about it some. How did you think your offensive line played this year, kind of from start to finish, and, And, you know, what were you happy with them about?
Oh man, you know, it's a loaded question.
So it is.
Going into the off season from a year ago, I knew I was graduating a couple of really good ones. That, you know, honestly were a couple of the best I've ever gotten to coach. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going in, like, and we've got a big challenge to try to figure this out up front. And then you look around the roster and the defense is loaded. We had maybe the best defense I've ever seen, you know, on one of my rosters. Coach Smith did a great job with those guys. I think we held opponents to 15 points per game, and, just, he does a great job, and those guys were really good. You don't want to waste that. And then you look over and you've got three of the four, you know, first place state, 4x100 meter guys on your roster on the outside. You've got speed everywhere. You've got a Division I quarterback in Brady Davidson. You know, you look there and you're like, man, we've got a chance to do something really special. And So what is the next thing that you're trying to figure out? And well, it just so happens that you're trying to figure out the most important thing. That's the offensive line. And, you know, we had some big guys up front. We had some guys that have been in the program for 4 years. But we knew also that there was, you know, there were some things that we had some inefficiencies with those guys, and knew we were going to have to kind of plug and play throughout the summer. And then again, going into the year, like just trying to find the right mix. And be honest with you, it was a challenging year. I mean, we pushed a lot of buttons with firing guys in the middle of the season and just trying to figure things out. And that's always hard as a coach. You know, you love your guys, and you don't know how they're going to respond to that. And thankfully, I've got a really good offensive line coach here named Gunther Armbruster. And he did a really good job of kind of, you know, helping those young guys through that process, and really molded those guys to handle that, you know, scenario. But by the end of the year, I think it was one of my better offensive lines. We still had some things that we knew we couldn't do well, but man, Alex does such a good job of scheming around those things. And, you know, he liked to joke there were certain plays that were just off the table going into, you know, going into a week, like, man, this would be really good right now, but we just can't call it with this group. And, you know, kudos to him for having the wherewithal to know, you know, things were off limits, and just kind of leaning into our strengths, and we did a good job.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just talking to somebody about, you know, about some programs the other day, and it's about putting your kids in the best situation to be successful, right? Like, don't try to force. I always say this, and I probably said this, if anyone's a devout listener to this podcast, I probably said this a million times, but don't put the square peg in the round hole, and find where you can put guys to be successful. And that goes with the skill position, and that goes with offensive line, right? If you guys are a gap front, you know, you guys are a gap scheme offense, you're not going to put somebody who isn't very good at pulling at a spot where he's going to pull a lot. Or if you are, you know that that's what he's got to work on, and you're going to try to make him successful in that role. So I think that's vital. And, you know, that's important for any coach, any spot, anywhere on offense, defense, special teams, whatever, is put your kids in the best position to win and be successful, and good things will happen on the field, right?
Absolutely. You know, you have to understand who you're working with, and then you have to be patient, because at the end of the day, they're trying, you know, they're trying to be successful. They're trying to figure things out. And so you got to really allow them emotionally that time to figure it out. It's not easy to go out there and, you know, to scoop out a backside 2i, you know, when you're trying to run double G away from it and having to reach. And there's some different things that we really ask of our kids that are a challenge. And, you know, you got to have patience, and you got to continue to teach and teach and teach.
Yep. No doubt. Absolutely. You know, when talking about the Bear Raid, next question I have for you is, and this is another loaded question, so it doesn't have to be kind of the one play, but what was an offensive highlight for you guys this year? And again, it can be a game, it can be a play, it can be one drive, but what was something you found was a really big highlight for you guys on that side of the ball?
You know, I don't know if it's a selfish standpoint, but being able to run double G into about any different front, you know, that there's a lot of pride on my end of things that goes into being successful with that play. We see a lot of different looks to try to take it away. And most of the time people aren't able to. I think we average 9 yards one direction and 8.5 the other direction on that play. You know, in classics football, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's and that's something that I mean, I'm assuming that's kind of your week by week. That's your play. That's something you say, hey, we got to find a way to run this. And you know, do you put a number on that? Do you say like, we need to try to run this play X number of times? Or is it just, hey, we got to make sure we get this thing established. You know, if it's 10 times for 100 yards, but we score 4 touchdowns, like we're good. Or, you know, how do you guys handle that with that kind of being your play?
You know, we didn't really do that in terms of, you know, having a kind of a mandated set number or anything like that. We did a little bit go into certain games this year and say, hey, this kid needs to touch the ball a little bit more.
Yeah.
And one of the ways to do that is to, you know, get him loose on a double G. And we found some success doing that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, man, one of the things I think most coaches, you know, we don't talk about this enough, but I think we miss the weekend routine of scheming an opponent.
Yeah.
More than anything going in, you know, week in and week out. And probably the most I've ever enjoyed of football was this year working with Alex, getting together, whether it was on Saturday or Sunday, and just trying to figure out ways to, you know, manipulate a front and get the look we want. You know, he did a great job of getting into quads and just basically getting any look he wanted to get out of quads versus our opponent. And, you know, I think in the run game, finding ways to run double G, finding ways to run trap. We had a lot of success on the ground this year, had a lot of success in the air. I mean, he's really good to work with.
Yeah. We're saying too many nice things about Alex right now. And I'm kind of, I don't know if I can post this right now with all the niceties that we're giving him. So, we'll have to say some mean things towards the end, but no, that's all. I mean, but that's what we all want, right? We want to be able to have that guy that we can, like we said, like you said at the beginning, we can trust with that big part of our program and make sure he's doing it the right way and you know, not have to get on the headsets and tell him, hey, we're not doing this right, or hey, we need to do this more. So that's awesome that's awesome. Twofold. That's awesome that he's able to do that. And that's awesome that you were able to allow him to experiment with that, because, you know, your background, correct me if I'm wrong, was wing T, right?
Yeah. I got hired at the ripe age of 26 in my hometown. And they paired me with a guy that had won a couple district titles out of Kabul, Missouri, named Vince McCroskey. And he was an under center wing T guy. And I'm barely wet behind the ears. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And I'm forever grateful that my athletic director there had the wherewithal to put me with somebody that, you know, knew how to prepare for games and had a plan. And it really kind of set me in the direction that I've gone. Working with Vince and yeah, it was a wing T background. I mean, I was telling Alex the other day, we would call a play and Vince would just tell me who made the tackle. Like he'd say, hey, that was the middle linebacker. And I knew what that meant. You know, I knew it meant, hey, we're gonna run inside trap. Now he's flying out on buck sweep or whatever. And, it's a whole different world, to watch a game whenever you're doing it from the wing T lens. And, yeah, blessed that I got to do that. It's really helped me throughout my career with scout team, stepping over and being able to help our defense during a wing T period. And, you know, I can run that really fast and efficiently, and it's been good.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, and but again, that's the, like we talked about, that's taking the you know, I joke, that's taking the stubborn hat off. I mean, this was the first time, I think, oh my gosh, I'm trying to go back, you know, I've been coaching now for 17 years. This is probably the first time in a decade where I got under center, because we had, you know, we had a running back here who's a downhill runner, and he was, I don't want to say was struggling, but he was finding a lot more success when he could just go straight forward instead of, you know, crossing the face of the quarterback to get the ball. So we changed it up, and I would say our last 5 or 6 games of the season, we were probably under center 75% of the time. And that's just what was working for us and was giving us the most success. So it's, you know, the adaptability piece and being, not being stubborn and finding out, again, like we talked about before, putting the kids in the successful position to win and putting them in that position. So you've got to be able to do it. And that comes with time as a coach. I'm sure if you, you know, if you'd have asked yourself 20, you know, when you were 26 years old, what if you were going to change, you probably would have said, nope, we'll make it work. And this is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, for us both to be able to make those changes, it shows that we're far more mature than our wives probably think we are. So, well, I'm going to stick to that and make sure I tell her that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, last question, for the base four is what's something that you guys struggled with this year? Whether it's a certain front, a certain team, a certain look, but what did you find that you guys struggled with that you just couldn't get over the hump, so to speak?
Oh man, you brought back instant nightmares from our DeSmet game that we lost by a score here in the quarterfinals just a week ago, and the speed rush off the edge. Our season started playing against a really good pass rusher out of Park Hill South. Mm-hmm. He terrorized us. He had a strip sack. He had a couple other sacks. We lost a game we shouldn't have lost. And it came down to us not being able to handle the speed rush. Then we turn around in week 13, we're playing against a couple guys on the edge that are different.
Right.
At DeSmet, and you know, that speed was again a problem for us. It ended up having a strip sack, down on about the 4-yard line. They ended up being a scoop and score for them that ultimately was the difference in the ball game. I'd say speed rush off the edge. It's funny we do a lot of pod work with our D line, and we had, like I mentioned before, a tremendous defensive line, a couple of defensive ends that are very twitchy and not one move type of people. They've got a couple different things in their bag. And so during our one-on-one periods, I saw our guys get better throughout the year. Saw the confidence grow. But we still had, there were still certain things that we just couldn't handle from those guys. And so, as a coach, there were certain plays that we knew when we got in, we were really, if we called a certain thing and it was going to be a one-on-one on the backside, if the first option wasn't going to come open, we were probably in trouble. And that's really what happened on that strip sacks for the win. So I'd say speed rush.
Yeah. Now, is that something that you guys are, or I say you guys, is that something that you as a head coach are really going to tell your staff, like, hey, we need to figure out an answer to this, or, is that just, it was one of those situations where it was just a freaky guy that, you might not see for another 3-4 years and kind of just going to chalk it up to that, or what's the plan to help alleviate that, I guess?
Well, I think plan number one is get a little bit more athletic out on the perimeter of our offensive line. We do a lot of unbalance where we go tackle over and we run a lot of gap scheme where we're down. And, we ask a lot of that big tackle on the end to block down on a 7-tech or whatever you want to call that inside leverage of the end. And not, you can't have a tight end do it, but you can have your 310-pound, 6'5" tackle do it. And so we live in that kind of a modality, but whenever you get into a game, whenever those guys are going to be asked to pick up the 6'4", 240-pound speed rusher, they can have a little bit of trouble. And I think just getting more athletic up front will help us going forward.
Right. I mean, we all want to try to find those unicorns out there that can handle it. And they exist. And sometimes it takes a year of development, sometimes two, but they're definitely out there. And I think it's up to us to pull that out of those guys and find it. Cause those dudes on the edge are tough, and they're only getting faster and stronger and bigger. We gotta reciprocate. And unfortunately, the era of throwing the unathletic big kid on the offensive line and just kind of hoping for the best is gone by the wayside. So, you gotta find those guys. And sometimes it means moving somebody to that spot. And sometimes it means, like I said, developing that spot a little bit more, but they're out there and they do exist. So we just got to find them, right?
Yeah. I think like you're saying, you can't be satisfied with just the big, sloppy kid or whatever that maybe 20 years ago you found and you plugged in. Our 6'4", 310-pound tackle, he's a dang good player. He's going to go play at the next level. One of the more talented kids I've coached. His wingspan's about 6'3.5". He's not super long, and he's trying to block, you know, a defensive end that's got a 6'9" wingspan. He's
right.
He's just out leveraged, and it's a problem.
Right.
And so, you know, you hope you have that length walk into the locker room at some point in your career.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's we always keep our eyes open for that, and it's like I said, they're out there. We just got to try to find them a little bit. So, what's something that kind of I guess off my, you know, off topic a little bit. What's something that, you know, you talked about what you don't like in the off season. What's something that you kind of look forward to in the off season a little bit as a head coach? What's something that you really kind of always, you know, nobody ever likes this time of year. It's the longest time of the year, and it just feels like it takes forever. But what's something you kind of look forward to during this the off season?
Oh man, there's a long list. So, we every Friday or every Thursday, depending on if we do a, you know, 5 day a week or 4 day a week routine, we get a picture together with all of the kids that showed up that week. And, I look forward to going through those pictures at the end of the month of May and just kind of seeing, like, you know, how those guys have grown.
Right.
Our off-season program, we ask a ton of our kids, put a lot into it. Just that time together with those guys, that's number one. Number two, time with my staff. Alex and I have already started, you know, working and scheming for next year. And, you know, we've got probably a different looking H-back than what we had this year, getting ready to be a part of our program. And so trying to tailor the offense around that body type and the skill set that young man can do. And, you know, that's fun. And then you start taking trips with your staff and you go, you know, you go to a university and spend time watching practice and you go to a clinic and all of those things are, you know, high on the list of things I enjoy about the job. Yeah. You know, I don't think there's a better community than the coaching community on Twitter. So, you know, believe it or not, your Hog Football Chat, that has been one of the things that's probably helped me grow as a coach. I've spent a lot of time connecting with different people on there and following people and, you know, being a part of the community that is the football world. And just we live a blessed life.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. And you're right. The coaching brethren out there and that brotherhood is really second to none. So it's I do appreciate the conversations being able to have had with those guys and you know, I mean, case in point yourself, you know, having a question for you and you taking the time to answer it and give me a great response and then, you know, hopping on here and talk with me on a Sunday afternoon. So those are greatly appreciated and those are definitely good things that myself I look forward to as well. The off season, it's always, everybody's always, you know, gunning for a state title and we're all 0-0 and it's so positive and so kind of refreshing that we all get to have that mindset of this kid's going to be really good or this play is going to work really well and then kind of poking holes in it and trying to figure out how to make it the best thing we can. So those parts are definitely fun for me as well.
Yeah, you just kind of dream about what a kid could become, and then you start fighting with your defensive coordinator about who gets to have him on which side of the ball. You know, those are great times.
Yeah, exactly. With the playing, you know, coaches dealing trades in the off season in the meeting room. So yeah, good times there. Well, last question I got for you, and then I'll get you out of here. If you could put together a Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen from guys you coached, guys you played with, or, you know, maybe just guys as a fan growing up that you liked, who would be on that 5-man offensive line?
All right. I've got two different lists for you.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with the list of people that none of you will know the names of unless you've spent a little time with me. These are kids that I've coached over the years, but if I could go back in time and put these five guys on a roster, it's a state title team. That's Jake Swope at left tackle, ended up playing at Missouri State. Blake Reed at left guard, one of the ugliest kids I've ever coached. And he played just as angry as he was ugly. Jackson Kendall, putting that big old kid at center and just letting him move people. Sebastian Agnew at right guard, and then Will Benson, maybe the best kid I've ever coached, putting him at right tackle. So that would be a heck of a group. And then from a top five O-lineman ever, tell me what you think about this list. I've got John Hanna.
Okay. John Hanna has been on here only a handful of times, and he's one of my favorite. So that's you're already in, on the good side. Okay.
I mean, he could do it all. And I'm a Pats fan, so that sums that up. So yeah, Jonathan Ogden.
Okay.
He may be the most talented. Orlando Pace.
Yeah.
Okay. I put Larry Allen on the list just because I remember growing up thinking about how freaky that guy was. Seemed like he could do it all. And then I don't think a wing T guy could have a list and not put Will Shields on it.
That's a really good list right there. That might be one of the all-time best off, especially for NFL guys. Now I love when coaches come on here and talk about kids they've coached or you know the little 175-pound guard that they played with in high school. That's awesome to me. But yeah, the NFL list is kind of I love that, and throwing Hannah on there and throwing Larry Allen, that's a good list. A lot of these guys, a lot of these coaches too, and young players also, go watch some clips of those guys. I tell my players all the time, like watch these guys play. Go watch Will Shields play. Go watch Larry Allen play. Like Larry Allen's a guy you could plug him in now and he'd be an all pro. You put him in any era of football and he's an all pro. So much respect for that list. And I'm sure the guys that you were able to coach will appreciate getting a little shout out as well.
Right on. Yeah. Tony, man, keep up the good work. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Yeah, no doubt. Before I let you go, do me a favor, drop your Twitter handle and any other information you want these guys to know.
Right on. So Twitter handle, I'm one of the original Twitter guys. So it's @coach_Perkins. And, you know, I think as far as what people need to know, years ago, I got a job being the head coach of my hometown. And when I left that job, my athletic director at the time told me, man, if you leave, you're probably never going to be a head coach again. And I just said, yes, I guess that's possible. And when I left, I knew I was going to be a head coach again. But basically my advice would be bet on yourself and, you know, go make it happen.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Coach. Looking forward to talking with you down the road, and we'll hopefully maybe cross paths at one of these clinics sometime.
Right on. Thanks, Tony.
All right, man. Take care.